People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey, y'all, I'm Mallory, and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating two multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I'm thrilled for the podcast today and to be in this beautiful location here with Ellen and Caroline. So Caroline Bryan and Ellen Boyer are here with me today, along with my sister, Jade Irvin Cherwalk. And today we're going to talk about something that is very near and dear to all of our hearts in all different ways. And that is CHD and Down syndrome and the Brett Boyer Foundation. And, you know, the toughest thing that we have ever gone through as a family that happened to us when Jade lost Blaze led us to this really amazing organization. And we're here today in this beautiful girly office. They said they made it so girly that none of the guys would want to come in it. And I think they were successful in that.
Well, they still bombard us sometimes.
They do. They can't get enough
of
you.
We'll shoo them out quickly.
Yeah.
So there's too many hormones in here. I don't think they want to deal yeah. with it.
For sure. But this is this farm is beautiful. And Luke and Caroline's farm is across the street where the Redbird Games is held, which is the Brett Boyer Foundation's largest fundraiser, correct?
That's correct.
And the biggest one. And y'all are just setting up like crazy people today, but looking all glamorous this morning for us. So we're excited to get started.
Starting out on a high point, and we just got downhill from here.
Yeah, right.
Lots of concealer and caffeine and B12 patches. And
all that. Well, I'd love a B12 patch after this if I can have it whilst pregnant. Oh, gosh. Well, so thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's really exciting to do this because we've talked about the Brett Boyer Foundation, and in particular, you know, Blaze had a grant within the Brett Boyer Foundation and the Redbird Games. I mean, I can't believe I haven't been to the Redbird Games.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You need to.
Come on.
Yeah.
I tell her every year.
I know, and I've just heard such wonderful things about it. There are so many charity events in Nashville, but I mean, there's a lot of hype around the Redbird Games. It just really seems like such a special thing. And everybody that goes just like seems to absolutely love it.
It's definitely dynamic and fun. Yeah. And we try to keep everybody guessing of what the new events are and how we can elevate and make each thing that we've already that we've done year after year. How can we make it more fun? But definitely the balance is like, how do we talk about something that's so important and focus on how to celebrate? That's the main thing that we've always agreed we wanted to keep it, a celebration of Brett's life, of Blaze's life, of August, of all the families that we've gotten close to that have lost. Like, we want to remember how fortunate we are that they were ever here and to continue to celebrate that their legacy didn't stop when they left us.
Yeah. So. Amen. Yes. And it's a hard thing to do, I'm sure. But what an amazing thing when you can start something like you guys have started that helps other families. and pour all that energy into that. I mean, what a legacy. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay, so let's talk about these little cute things right here in this picture beside it. So if you guys are listening to this, I'm looking at these pictures, and we've got a picture of Brett and a picture of Blaze next to me. And I think that these are the images of their hearts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jade, I remember you gave us these hearts on our Christmas sweatshirts last year.
Gav had them made. And it was a surprise for me on Christmas morning. He brought out these hearts, and then he made sweatshirts too, like for the whole family. And I had no idea. So,
and you probably were not ready for that.
I was not
Christmas
ready.
Morning. I know.
Tears falling. Christmas morning. But I don't. What is the lady's name that does these?
Her name is Hannah. She's from Florida, and it's Studio 143.
That's it.
Her son is doing well, but has CHD, and she's just really got a gift of being able to make these digestible. And a celebration of like how different each kid's heart was, you know, made, and then things that were so special to them, you know, as a person. So I just think they're so beautiful.
That's really special.
Yeah.
Too. And what a gift, because CHD affects a lot of families. So what is the statistic now of CHD? One in 100.
Yeah.
That gives me chills.
Yeah. And that's of, that's of live births. So. I think it's more common than that, actually. But
for sure.
It's 40,000 babies are born in the U.S. each year with CHD.
Yeah, and I love how you talk about it, too. Ellen, like, it's a celebrate. You want to celebrate. It's hard to celebrate hard things until you start celebrating hard things. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, it gives some levity to something that is so hard, which I don't know anything that could be harder on the face of the earth than losing a child. And, you know, you and Jade going through this and coming out on the other side so joy-filled and celebrating what you've gone through is absolutely one of the most inspirational things that I've seen. Jade's resilience has been really amazing. And
thank you.
Know, the beginning of these stories were sad, but, you know, it led us to the Brett Boyer Foundation and to you guys and to so much joy within our family. So, Jade, start out a little bit with, because our introduction to Caroline and Ellen came through Blaze. So tell us a little bit about your journey, even though a lot of people have heard our podcast before, and just kind of how it began.
Yeah. Well, so I think a lot of people, already know about Blaze because, you know, I have talked about him on the podcast and quite a bit on my Instagram, but he was born with a tricuspid atresia and hypoplastic right heart syndrome, which is basically just a fancy way of saying he was born with half a heart. And I can remember, like, at 20 weeks, you know, when we got the diagnosis, I was just, like, blissfully unaware of any, you know, you never think that anything's going to be wrong with your child.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was 29 years old having my first baby. I just thought, you know, I remember I was eating like Wendy's French fries on my stomach during the ultrasound.
Well,
just because I was like, oh, I can't wait to see, you know, the 3D image you get. And then so when we got the diagnosis, it was just like utter shock. That was like the moment where my life just changed overnight. And then so I was fortunate enough to have Aaron Creighton, a mutual friend of Ellen's, or Ellen and I are both friends with her, and she connected us. And then I just had that support, I feel like, right away. Just texting back and forth and, you know, is this normal? Or I remember you connected me with Suha, whose daughter has a similar defect to what Blaze's was going to be. And so the foundation just, you know, in those 34 days we were in the hospital, they were really the silver lining. They just took care of us the whole time we were there, like feeding us lunch and, you know, because the last thing you are thinking about is like feeding yourself. Mm-hmm. So I remember just, you know, Chick-fil-A's on Tuesday. And then you guys like provided little care packages and just things that like we didn't know that we were going to need while we were in the hospital. And after we lost him, of course, we got really involved with just coming to the Redbird Games and, you know, volunteering just to keep his legacy alive. So that's how I got connected with Ellen. And I just feel so fortunate that my grief has this outlet to, you know, keep his legacy and his memory alive.
I feel like it is such a gift. Like, there's a lot of moms that I've met that have lost their kids, and they feel like they never get to talk about them. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, as you and I know, like, just the same as I want to talk about Wells and Lottie, I still want to talk about Brett. And a lot of times it's really hard because you – to talk to people who have been through loss because you don't want to make them upset. Mm-hmm. But something I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like you're never going to say her name and remind me of something I wasn't thinking of. So it's like if I do get emotional about it, it's because there's just such a deep love there and there's still like – I just feel so fortunate that through the foundation and the things we get to work on together, we get to talk about her and him and to, you know, when we do great things together, it makes people more comfortable to, they want to hear, hey, what's the latest of the things that you're doing for this, that, and the other. And when the events and the different parts of the foundation get stressful, I try to really focus on the fact that all of this is such a blessing and it's not lost on me that they're or grieving mothers all around the world begging somebody to say their kid's right. name.
And yeah. But that's a tough thing, though, and I respect that so much about y'all because I didn't think about this, and seriously, until like a month ago, to have to face it every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's what Ellen does is nonstop every day, to have to face it every day, which is, it's. I think it's healthy that you do. I think my brother mm-hmm. sometimes faces it in different ways, but have to face it every day and think about it. It's healthy, but there's no way it's easy
yeah.
to have
yeah.
to think about it every single day and face it. But Ellen's doing an incredible job. This is what she lives and breathes for, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. And so, but I thought about it. I was like, to have to face this every single day and to think about it every day. But you do a great job, and you do it in such a healthy way.
Well, I mean, I really think it's something that I would be thinking about anyway. You know, of like, you now would. I have to be honest. There are definitely days of the foundation that I feel so fortunate that we've got so much mm-hmm. support that I can be like, hey, I can't talk about CHD today. I just can't. I just want to celebrate the other parts of her that, yeah, I, of you course. Know, that mm-hmm. aren't so hurtful. But yeah. I still. I'm grateful because I know that not everybody's outlook there. It doesn't come as easy to have a yeah. positive outlook, but I feel like that is a tender mercy from God that he's, you know, just said, but that's a beautiful gift that I don't know that I'd ever really, even being a believer my whole life, that I ever felt as deeply as through the deep grief, like that I'd yeah. every morning that I would wake up, if I fell asleep praying for mercy, it was there in the morning. And it's something that's not, I mean, you know, you see miracles around you when you look for them all the time, but that was something like I needed his help so deeply and received it. And so,
right. yeah. I felt the same way. And I can remember telling you, you were on my doorstep with like a big pot of pasta because she cooked for me every single night when we were in the hospital.
It was also like COVID.
I know.
And so she would stand on the sidewalk 10 feet away and then we would just talk. And I remember she had tears in her eyes, and I just was like, I told her, if he dies, I'm not going to survive this. Like, I truly felt like I was just going to die of yeah. like grief, you yeah. know, because you just don't know what you're going to do if something happens. And then, of course, it did happen, and I did. I felt that same grace and mercy, just like, I don't know how, but I was just okay
yeah.
In the aftermath. And I feel like God just, like, sent all these angels into my life to help me through that dark time, and somehow we made it to the other side. Yeah.
It's really amazing. I remember I asked you too. I was like, what of all the things that people say, because people say so many things, I think, after you lose a person that's close to you, maybe people that have been through it, but maybe people who haven't, and they say the cliche thing because they're just trying, yeah. I think. And you said that the one thing that you heard over and over that like was true was that God will give you the strength, mm-hmm. that it is supernatural and it is not anything that you can explain. But she's like, it's unexplainable, but that you feel lifted or something, mm-hmm. or that you feel that you can make it through. I think me, as a person who has not lost a child, when you're standing in front of it and you haven't gone through it, it's like, how would I make it through? But then I look at you, who lives every day resilient and joy-filled, not to say that you don't have hard days, well, but
here lately, here. The infertility.
Oh, Lord. I know. It's like, come on, God, can you give me a break? But
grief can show up in that, like,
yeah.
it has made me grieve Blaze because I'm like, he should have a brother. The infertility kind of like makes it all so much harder. It makes me think about him in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That makes sense.
It exacerbates the whole thing.
Yeah. But. So tell me about Brett and her story.
Also, that's another thing that Jade and I have bonded over. Brett, Wells, and Lottie are all three rounds of IVF. Mm-hmm. Brett was our first round. The whole pregnancy was just so many ups and downs. Brett was a twin. So throughout her...
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, the twin, we never got heart tones.
Okay.
So we had two sacs, but no heart tones. So... throughout the pregnancy I was 12 weeks when we first, had just come home from a tennis trip and I was doing ultrasound at the time. And I was like, I'm not going to be a crazy person and check everything,
but I knew she was doing ultrasound.
Yes, I was working at Centennial.
I
just want to see heartbeat.
And you did it to yourself.
Well, I held it on my belly. Don't let your brain go to that. I was doing it.
She wasn't shut out. Again,
but it was a snowstorm that was, I guess that was January, February of 16, the year she was born. And, there was a snowstorm. So I was trapped at Centennial and I put the ultrasound. I was like, I just want to see her heartbeat for 2 seconds. And so I was 12 weeks and I saw her heartbeat. I was like, thank you. I went to like pull the probe away and she rolled and I saw that her nuchal fold was thickened.
You gotta be kidding me.
After all of this, that something could be wrong. Cause it really had not entered my brain.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying, it had not crossed my mind. And I was seeing that all day. I mean, like I saw loss in, I was scanning really first trimester patients majority, but like it still had not crossed my brain, which I'm grateful because if, I don't know.
And you were young too, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I was 32. Wow. Yeah.
That's young. I mean,
today I feel like that was
young.
Yeah.
It is young. It's young to be 32.
Yeah. And so I was like, maybe I just got a funky angle. But then I was trapped at the hospital for the snowstorm. So like I was in for the duration. So I just had to sit there and think about it. Anyway, but I ended up getting in with the perinatologist, and by the time we got there, her nuchal was normal. And really? So they were like, it was a funky angle. I'm sure that you got, you know, whatever. And they were like, we'll do blood work just in case. Then my blood work came back as high risk for Down syndrome. And I was so uneducated about Down syndrome. I wasn't lucky enough to know or love someone with Down syndrome, or else I wouldn't have been so scared. I just, you know, to be honest, when you receive that diagnosis, all you're hit with is all of the negative possibilities that do not define what a person is capable of or how much joy their life will bring you and how much joy their life will be filled with. And so it's terrifying. That's one of the initiatives of the foundation is if you're going to deliver all of the negative possibilities, you have to at least educate yourself on the positive and don't put this person in a box because of a diagnosis. I just feel like if someone feels like they have the authority to deliver a choice, that means two choices, not just one. So anyway, when my blood work came back, they were like, but the twins' placenta was there, so it could be from that other. So, I mean, the whole pregnancy was up and down, which was really hard because when they told us that it was probably the twin that was testing positive since the nuchal was normal, I felt such relief because I didn't know, you know. But then we found out about her heart defect when I was 22 weeks pregnant. And Brett had an AV canal defect, which is the most common heart defect from people with Down syndrome. And but it kind of like every other test would be like, well, she tested negative on this, so we're not sure. It was just so up and down.
It's a nightmare going back and forth. Like
it was. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah, we stayed positive. I mean, you know, but one of my favorite things about Ellen, I was driving in my car. It was just a great day. And I was having like friends over for something. And I was actually, this is funny, but not funny. And I was parking at a liquor store to go buy wine for like, and I was parking and she called me and I was like, hey, what's up? And she's crying, like bawling. I'm like, who hurt your feelings, you know?
Yeah.
I'll go kill them. And she's like, we just were told, you know, Brett, they said Down syndrome. I'm like, okay. I was like, let's talk about this. And that's when your heart drops. But what I love about her, she never once said, why us, why me? Her first words, and I've told you this, was, I cannot fathom somebody making fun of my child. And I was like, well, this is why you're a fantastic human. And it still gives me chills because that's what she said. She's like, I can't wrap my head around somebody making fun of my child. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to get through this. And, you know, and we did. And, you know, it actually brought our family, people who in our family didn't speak.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It brought our family so close because we just wanted to be with them, around her, support Brett. And we always knew she was going to change our world. Yeah. And she's not changing our world, but she's actually changing the entire world with everything that, and we knew it.
All the time, though, I'll reflect, I feared the wrong diagnosis. I just, like, when they, you know, everybody with her particular heart defect, it's a 97% success rate via surgery.
Wow. Yeah.
So even then I was like, okay, so we're going to fix her heart, but what about Down syndrome? I can't fix that. And what do I do? Like, I'm not a confrontational person, but I was like, now I have to learn how to fight. Because if anybody,
well, I got that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got
that. I got that. I told her. I mean, I can bar fight. I mean, I'm not going to fight fair. I'm grabbing a weapon. So just don't, you mess with her, you messing with the whole trailer park. Seriously.
But it turns out it's that way for every child. You worry about anybody picking on your kid. And how am I going to handle this? But not like in my mind, there were so many things that were a special need that are in fact not special at all. They're pretty typical for every kid you have. I was so fearful of all of those things. And then the minute she was born, I was like, why was I worried about this?
That's so awesome.
Look at how perfectly made she is. And like I said, I guess now I see it as a tender mercy, but it never crossed my mind that her surgery wouldn't be perfect.
Yeah.
And when we had to like go over the night before her big surgery, when we had to go over the risk, I was like, ugh, don't even say that out loud. I'm like signing the paperwork because we were so in my mind after her surgery, we're done with this world.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
And it's never done. And that's the other thing I know is like a big trigger point for a lot of heart moms when they're like, oh, but their heart's surgically repaired, but it's never normal. And you pray that they have one and done surgery, but like it's always, there's just such an unknown for kids with CHD. There is no cure. So that's the thing we're trying to fight for, is so that there can be.
And so Brett was, how old was she when she passed away? She was 8 months?
She was 7 months old. 7 months old. Yeah, almost eight.
And so she had made it through the surgery.
Yes, her first surgery, she was 4 months old, and it was supposed to be a 6-hour surgery. And after 12 hours, they came out and were like, she's the sickest kid in Nashville. She's on ECMO.
Oh, my
You know,
gosh.
They tried to repair, and the more that they tried, the more her valves didn't tolerate it. So she ended up, Caroline was there.
Our family shows up. I mean, our family shows up. There wasn't just four of us. There was like 20 of us. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon's like, oh, wow. Because we all,
y'all were all able to go in
the room. You don't want to ever be taken in that room.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my side of the family has been in that room too many times. And when they told us to come in there, I looked at my mom and I was like, this is not good. I was like, I'm going to puke. I was like, this is not good. But that surgeon, Brett, of course,
his name is Brett, too.
Yeah.
His name's Brett, and he pulled us in. He walked in, and there was like 15 of us. Yeah. And typically, he speaks with a mom and a dad. He walked in, and he goes, whoa. I'm like, oh, no, we come in packs. We come in packs. But, yeah, it was not the news we were hoping for, but we all still had hope. And
they told us she may not make it through the night, but she did. Then they said she won't come off ECMO, and then she did. And then it was, hey, if we don't have another open heart surgery, there's no way she'll be able to breathe on her own. She did great through her second open heart surgery. And her heart was not repaired, but it was definitely repaired well enough for her to live. But the invasiveness of all of that, she just couldn't recover. And being on ECMO and being on the vent for that long, she ended up getting infections. And ultimately, we were in the hospital 100 days. And like, she was making such a comeback. We had her on dialysis and she was doing so great to where we were like high-fiving. Everybody in the unit was pulling for us. And she just, she got a blood infection and in 2 days she was gone. And all of it, there was so much, like, I don't know if it was, I mean, I believe it was mercy, but everybody knew in those last 2 days but me. I remember Dr. Mettler, Brett, telling Bo, my mom was in town for Valentine's Day and they were about to go home. And Mettler went up to Bo and he said, don't let her mom go home back to Georgia. But I just couldn't know. And I got so mad at everybody that was like, I worry you're not understanding. I was like, how could we lose her after all of this? How many times have y'all told me she's not going to make it through the night? She did. And there was so much of that that I remember thinking, like, there's no way after everything. Look at how many people have prayed. And for her to be better, I want her to be this living testimony. And I think that if we had lost her on that first day, I don't know that I would have survived it. But there were so many miracles I saw in that 100 days in the hospital that I don't know. I believe that maybe that time was for Bo and I to be able to process that life would have been harder for her and after everything she endured in the hospital. And so,
but it also made you, this is why you're fighting so hard, because, you know, I'm, you know, just as an aunt, I would want to go there every day to take her lunch or just to see Brett. Like when she would have a meeting with a doctor, like I wanted to hold Brett's finger and I would sing to Brett, and she did not like that. Like she would cut her eyes at me. I'm like, I'm sorry, sweetie. Yeah, Aunt Caroline can't sing. But like just walking in those doors, each room was full.
Yeah.
And the unit's not big enough, but each room was full. And I'd pass through, and the look on a parent's face is just complete. They just look lost and broken,
because you can do,
because you're not prepared for it. And these are infants. Parents aren't prepared for any of this. And just seeing her face and my brother's face, but just like looking into a room and there's just this innocent baby on this bed, and the parents just look, I mean, just they're broken because they don't know. So I know that's why Ellen fights so hard for mental health and just talking with the families and a sibling. Cause you know, when a baby's in the hospital, a sibling can get ignored or a spouse could lose their job cause they're at the hospital. There's just so much stuff that we had no clue about and we learned so much, but I mean, it was, but each room was full every time I was in there.
Well, that's, I think about y'all all the time for everything to happen during COVID, how much harder that had to be, because they were able to be there with me, and Bo was able to go, like, take a couple hours to go fish and have his way of decompressing, but he wouldn't leave until some, but, like, COVID, it just, oh, God, all of that.
It was terrible. It was the very beginning of COVID, too.
Yeah.
So, like, we couldn't even go in together.
So they had to
switch off.
That is the most unfair thing I've ever heard.
It's so terrible.
I think I'd be in prison if somebody told me I could not go be with my child.
Like, seriously. Well, and I was recovering from a C-section, too. So I remember, like, I had just gotten discharged from the hospital, and I was in my robe, and I was this might be TMI, but I was like bleeding because, you know, I was recovering and I had to walk all the way up there by myself and not have my support with me.
Or somebody just to wheel you there and be like, hey, let's get you.
I just like hobbled my way on up there and then we had to switch out every single time.
Gosh.
And it was just so hard walking in there alone.
But
then they didn't even get to meet him until the last day.
That's
like he got baptized while he was in the hospital, and Mal and Kyle were the godparents, but it was all on FaceTime. Like we didn't get to be together.
No, and you wonder, like, I feel like the, you know, hope is a beautiful thing. And I love that that's part of your story, because I'm just like, hope is such a beautiful thing. And even on the other side of it, because things went a different way, but it's like, gosh, thank God, thank goodness you had that. But I feel like, you know, you're part of your reason for being there for 100 days. You saw what life was like for the parents, like over and over. These are the parents you're now helping because you lived it.
Yeah.
And I look at Jade's story and I look at like this, oh, it was just so bad, like that it was COVID. Not only because we couldn't support you, but like you said, you couldn't be there with each other. That is unbelievable to
me. Yeah.
And people were, you know, on the outside world, they were like in the streets. I don't even remember what they were all together, but protesting about something. And I'm like, how? I remember saying, how can they all be together out here, but they have a potentially dying child? Mm-hmm. I also did not think that he was going to die. No. And they can't be together. The husband and wife, they can't be together. Like, it just yeah. didn't make any sense. And I always wonder, what was the reason for that? You know, what do you feel like you
well,
know?
Well, especially since you were able to swap out and go home and live together. So if you right. were sick.
I know.
Like,
no, I
it's
know.
Cruel. It was cruel. It was cruel. And
yeah.
I know everybody was just, you know, it was so unknown and everybody was doing the best
trying.
They could. But
yeah, I know.
Yeah. I tell you, I think all the time about the nursing staff too, because they were trying to be that support system that they weren't equipped to do either. You
well,
know,
I know,
they're
it
carrying
was hard for
that
them.
Of like, let, I'll try to be your person, yeah. you know, because, oh man, we're still so close to, you know, and they were nurses yeah. for you too.
Blair, Molly and Stacey.
Yep. Yep. and best. They see that and live mm-hmm. through stuff with you that it's a yeah. bond forever. Like yeah. somebody, there's no bigger gift that you can do than helping someone's child. And
yeah.
they were able to care for her mm-hmm. when I couldn't, you know, there was so... I'll be forever indebted to them.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I know they carried a lot of weight during COVID too, because it had to be excruciating on them.
Mm-hmm. I know, because they're seeing it and they're just listening to the orders that they have to yeah. follow. And you're right, they're not equipped. They're not mental health counselors, yeah. bless their hearts. And they're yeah. here with a mother alone asking, you know, how do you feel like, because, you know, Ellen having the support of Caroline and their whole huge family and everybody involved, I know that that's part of the reason how they probably made it through. How do you feel like individually you made it through having
gosh.
To do it like you did it?
I mean, I don't even know that I made it through during those
you
days.
Did.
I mean,
you did.
I just, the grace of God, that was the biggest thing. But I just had like a lot of little angels that came through, I feel like, during that time. You know, I had a teacher at work. I was teaching middle school at the time. So I had a friend, she would pray with me every morning before school started. And obviously my family was like the biggest part. I remember, like, as we knew he was probably going to pass away, and then the day of, they went through and got rid of all the baby stuff so I didn't have
yeah.
to. I already yeah. had like the bassinet at the
oh,
foot
yeah.
of my bed, and you know, the bottle grass, everything was like set up for him to come home. And I came home and none of that was there. I don't even know what they did. Like, it was just gone.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I had a lot of people just come through for me and help me through. But, yeah. I mean, Geoff also was amazing. I feel like
yeah.
he was stronger than I was during that time. I may have had a little PTSD because going into the hospital for me was so hard.
You're dealing with hormones on top of the fact that that's
yeah.
not a normal life situation to have to mm-hmm. live through. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah. Well, and the first time he went into cardiac arrest, I was holding him. And he
yeah.
was doing well. He
yeah.
was, at first, like, we thought we were going to actually be able to bring him home that day. Like, I remember I had
yeah.
his stuff packed, and I was just holding him, and I think I was, like, about to breastfeed, and then all of a sudden his oxygen just dropped out of nowhere, and I was rushed out of the room. Of course, Geoff wasn't there, and we, that was when it all started. He went on ECMO that day, so, but, yeah,
yeah
just
yeah.
a lot of little
ups and downs,
angels
for sure.
that came through
yeah.
for me, and... You know, Brett Boyer Foundation today
mm-hmm.
helps me to just express my grief
yeah,
in a positive
way.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
kept on talking, like, because we had texting and talking on the phone, that, and then you'd get the update on the texting because we couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And she kept being like, Ellen said, and I was like, who is Ellen? Who is Ellen?
Well, we were texting throughout that whole time.
Yeah. Well, Ellen said
I was like,
Ellen's your doctor? Ellen's my friend. Ellen was her lifeline.
If it,
yeah.
Ellen's anybody's doctor, we are in big trouble.
No, you've been
everybody.
Good one. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah, but you probably knew more than some people.
It was definitely like such a support, because as family members, you don't know how to support in that system. You're in that situation. You're right. It's not a normal life experience.
Yeah.
For a sibling. And it's just like, what do you do to support? What do you do? Do you talk about it? Do you not talk about it? Do you bring food? Do you not? What do you even say or think or do? And it really takes someone that's been through it themselves to offer the truly like what she needed in that moment was answers to her questions, support from someone who had been there, who really knew what she was going through. And that was such a beautiful thing. And like the fact that we happened to be friends with Aaron, who happened to find out, who happened to know Ellen and Caroline. Yeah. And it was just, that was a God thing for sure.
It was, yeah.
Family time is precious, and connecting over a home-cooked meal, now that's what love is all about. But for us, finding time to plan meals, especially during the crazy months of the holidays, can feel impossible. That's where Gobble comes in. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. But leaving time and room for love that makes homemade meals so special. That means pre-cooked starches like rice and polenta, pre-simmered sauces, and pre-mixed butter and spices. Other meal kits send raw ingredients that require 40-plus minutes to prepare and cook. We had the seared chicken with gold potatoes and sauteed apples the other night, and it was a crowd favorite with all my kids and Kyle. It was absolutely delicious and very easy to prepare. See what a difference Gobble will make in your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. Get $120 off 4 boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/livingfully. That's gobble.com/livingfully today for $120 off your first 4 boxes. This offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. As a woman, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, the cravings, the ups and downs, and all the things that come with it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. This isn't only for women, though, going through big things like menopause. Women with any symptom of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes, night sweats, low mood, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Lastly, it's not just a supplement, it's a phenomenon. There's a huge rave about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Erin was from our hometown. She used to babysit us when we were little. So.
Yes, she did. Yes, she
we
did.
We had a long history with Erin. So awesome.
Yeah. Erin's out here. I said, where's Erin right now? They're like, she's yelling at somebody. She's setting up. She plans all the done. Parties.
There's 100%. That is 100% true.
Yeah. She is yelling 100%. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Keeping exactly. everybody in line over there. Yeah. She's got tents going up.
Yeah.
Bathroom's in the right spot.
I can't wait
down
to
the
it.
Inch.
Yeah.
Everything is done.
Yes. And I love talking about all the good things that have come from such a hard thing. Thank y'all for sharing the hard part of that journey. And, you know, you never think in the middle of grief that there are going to be things that you laugh at or things that, you know, the bright spots are one thing. But there were a few, like, really, like, funny things that happened that we would laugh and just be like, oh my gosh, you feel bad for laughing. But like, it felt so good to laugh too. It's there was this one story, because I know you guys have stories too, where we were We got to visit the one day that we got to visit, and we were all trying to do anything that we could because we couldn't support her. And so Jade, like me, is a milk producing woman that she had all this milk that it was already in. And it's just everywhere. And it's just like, well, what am I going to do now? You know? And so we have the same OB, and I reached out to her and I was like, hey, what can I do? You know, we're going to the hospital. It's looking like he's not going to make it. You know, I'm just thinking of, as a mom that's been there before, I'm like, this is going to be a constant reminder for her. How can she stop this milk production? And she was like, you know what? It sounds crazy, but like the cabbage leaf thing actually does work for a lot of people. And I was like, okay, perfect. I can go get a head of cabbage. So I walked in. I think we were wearing gloves, not masks at the time. I can still remember like going to Kroger and grabbing these like cabbage heads with my gloves. And I mean, they won't let her husband come in like while he's going through that, but they'd let me bring in a bag of vegetables for some reason to children's yeah, of course.
You're like, cabbage safe.
Yeah. Cabbage totally safe. Does human not carry cabbage. Yeah. So I brought this cabbage in these sacks up and I laid it on the bed where he was laying. Like, why did they even just lay it right up there? And, you know, I'm meeting him for the first time. So I went straight to him and talking about Blaze and all this stuff. And I guess Geff just kept looking at the cabbage and feeling
what a time.
And so this was like after the fact. And I said, Jade, by the way, the doctor said that you can put this in your bra and it'll help you draw. And he said, you know, I really love, because my grandpa had a big garden, and we'd always bring back vegetables from Kentucky. Always. They'd be like half rotten in a bucket. Yeah. And he was like, I love Pawpaw's vegetables, but I thought, what an odd time to bring the vegetables. And I was like, no, they're for the milk, you know, but we like laughed so hard about that because he literally thought that I was like bringing him a sack of vegetables from the garden.
He's like, yeah, I thought you could cook these up. And then
it was just like, so it was lightness and we laughed. And there was like some story that I've heard you guys tell about something with like swollen lips or something.
I have a picture. Well, if you want to see a picture, my phone's under your seat.
So I'll set you up for this.
Oh,
one
you have to send us the picture because we need to put this on the YouTube video.
It's a terrifying picture. So I am normally, I mean, I like to think pretty independent. Like I don't want anybody to know if I'm hurting, like, or like if something's going on. Well, Brett was born July 8th at Vanderbilt, a teaching hospital. So I had wonderful doctors, but they all looked like Doogie Howser to me. They looked 12 years old, like they had just shut a book. And I don't like confrontation either. So I didn't want to be like now, just being a little older, I would have been like, well, when you say med student, do you mean year 3? Like I would have asked some questions, but they were like, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'm going to do, is that okay with you? And I was like, uh-huh, okay. And then I'd look at Bo like, save me. Don't make me be the bad guy. But we had excellent, excellent, excellent care for Brett and excellent care at Vanderbilt. So I'm not, but all of the people that took care of me had bumped up July 1st. So they had been doing surgery for 1 week of their life. And epidurals for 1 week of their life. Mm-hmm. Well, I get my epidural and it didn't work. Then Brett's heart rate was dropped. It ended up being emergent. And they get me back into the OR. And they're like, all right, we're about to get started. Do you feel this? I was like, yeah, I feel something cold and wet on my leg. They're like, you felt that? I was like, yeah. Well, then I have in my head, I'm going to feel this C-section. I'm about to feel this. And I've never had a panic attack before. Well, I had one right there on the table. Yeah. I was like, anesthesiologist was 100 years old, especially compared to the med students. And I was like, gonna have to give me something for my nerves. He was like, I can't. I was like, we got two choices. You goose me with some anti-anxiety meds, or I army crawl up off this table. I'm running.
Like, this is it. I'm about to lose my mind. So then they dosed me so much, my legs were totally numb. I mean, as they should have been, but like, I just spiraled into, I'm never walking again. It's over. Like, I was on Pluto. Yeah. Then as soon as they got her out, they gave me some anxiety meds, and I was out of my mind. I was singing Michael Jackson. It was horrible. Those med students will tell about this completely cuckoo lady for the rest of their career. But anyway, maybe they learned something. I don't know. But they get me back to the room, and I am like, And Brett went straight. Brett went straight to the NICU. So Bo was with her, and I get back into my room, and my sister's there freaking out. My mom's there freaking out, and I keep looking over. And Caroline's always pretty calm, especially in chaos.
Yeah.
If it's a tragedy, she's very calm.
Shockingly.
And I keep seeing her look in the mirror, which is not like her. And she's just like touching her lip. And then she'd look back. And I'm just so out of it that I keep looking, being like, something's weird with her. But I'm so like,
I would get up to like stand up to go to the bathroom to like look at my face. I knew something was off. And she'd go, don't you leave me. Don't you leave me. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I promise. And she's just shaking. I've never seen her act like this.
I had my mind that if they left the room, I was going to die.
Yeah.
Like I was so out of my mind, y'all. I don't know. It was horrible. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Then I freaked you out because you're like, Ellen's never acted like this.
I know. I've never seen Ellen.
You can't leave the room. You can't leave my side.
And she's Ellen's like, not touchy feely, like at all. And she's like, don't you leave me. And we're like, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And I'm looking in the mirror. Go ahead.
So it was just a hectic day. You know, Brett was there. We were just worried. I had just started a blood pressure medicine. Just started it. And they're like, oh, there are no side effects. Like, no, you're fine. And so when I'm talking to Ellen, I feel like my lip like started like droop. And I felt like I started talking and I'm like, I knew something. I was like, oh my papa, what's going on?
So I kept looking in the mirror going,
I kept going to the bathroom like, and we had been so busy all day. Nobody got to eat.
Yeah.
So I knew I hadn't eaten anything new or I'm like, what? I'm like, well, I feel like, and I kept feeling it like, I'm like, something's happening here. I don't. And so after like a couple hours, I felt it grow. And she'd already had a chaotic day. Yeah. She had calmed down. I was like, hey, y'all, you know, I'm going to head home. It's like 10 o'clock at night. It's like, I'm going to head home. I'll be back in the morning. Y'all rest. And driving home, I just felt my mouth grow.
Oh
my God!
She looked like so much worse.
So I did not know that I was having a reaction to this new medicine I'd taken, and when I got home, it had spread. And my children, I walked in. I had a sitter there. I walked in, and my kids just started screaming. And it did not hurt, but I was like, I gotta go to the ER. So when I went to the ER, this is what it looked like.
Oh my God. So much worse than you think it's going to be.
It did not hurt. You remember that?
Yes. No, that's bad.
My lip is going to explode. I was like,
I walked down and I physically, you can't talk.
And Ellen wouldn't let you leave the room.
I walk up, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I walk up to like triage and this sweet lady, and I went, I think I'm having an allergic. She goes, oh, baby, yes. And they got me back, and they were awesome. Oh, they asked me like 3 questions, and they knew immediately. So they gave me like, I had EpiPen, Benadryl, and something. And once we knew it was just that and it was going to go away, I was like, is my lip going to explode? And that a doctor gave me a straw with water. And, of course, it just goes all down my face because you can't drink it. But my kids would not let me drive them anywhere for, like, 2 days. They were like, is this going to last forever? And I was like, no.
Of all days.
Yeah. And it just grew. I mean, but.
Heads up. Lisinopril will get you.
Oh, I can't. Anything that ends in pril, I cannot take. Yeah. Oh, I was like, oh, God. Just go away. But it didn't hurt. But I was like, my lip's going to explode.
We laughed every day at that picture. She was like,
Ellen Higo.
Like a little bright spot.
Yes. God gives you those little tiny moments where you can just laugh and remember like what it's like to feel joy again. Because it's like, oh, all the ups and downs and like the grief and stuff. I remember the first time we laughed, you were like, how can I laugh? You feel guilty for laughing and you feel like weird to laugh because there's so much sadness around you. But it was nice to laugh.
Yeah.
Things are still funny. Things are still funny.
And you're like, because there is a time when you're like, will I ever laugh again? And then it's like, life is different. I don't say it ever moves on, but we're different. There's no way to be the same as you were when you walk in those doors.
For sure.
But there are ways that I'm definitely more compassionate. Definitely, it all made me realize that I'm capable of more than I was doing before she was born. And I mean, it was just like a great awakening, I feel like, for all of us. Oh, yeah. But Caroline talks about this. That's one of the main things, like, that we've talked about so much, why it's so important. One of the biggest missions of the foundation is spreading awareness, because a mom gets that diagnosis and they think you're the only person in the world this has ever happened to. And although obviously we wish there would be fewer and fewer, you know, diagnoses, so that people don't, CHD is a horrible disease and it's a difficult one, to let them know they're not alone. I mean, 38 beds at Vandy were full single day.
Every day, full.
But there are children, adults, truly living beautiful, wonderful lives that CHD does not run their life. We pray that, you know, nobody else's ending has to be the same. And that's why we're fighting for research, but for more awareness so that they know they're not alone.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That's as important, I feel like. And what was the timeline from when Brett passed away to when you started feeling like called to do more and then start Brett Boyer Foundation and then everybody gets involved?
So the four of us, me and Beau and Luke and Caroline, had dinner right after, Brett passed away February of 17. And we had, was it March or April? We had dinner with Dr. Mettler and his wife, Kelly. And I mean, Caroline, I like she said, Beau and I have grieved very differently, and there were different things we shared and talked about, but I really try to protect him from, and I would vent to you about things I was scared would throw him into, you know.
Girls and guys, they just, we grieve differently.
Yeah.
And so I've learned that, you know, she's more open. My brother is more closed off.
Yeah.
But that's just, way. That's just how it is.
He, you know, feels like his job is to be the protector, and he's an Enneagram 6 trying to prepare for the worst case scenario. And he's like, there was nothing I could prepare to do because there was nothing I could do. So it was like all of his worst fears came true, which anyway. But I remember right afterwards, I was like, I'm brutally honest with her. I was like, if I don't find something good to come out of this, it's going to kill me too.
Yeah.
I've got to find some place, you know, and both of us, it's our firstborn child. You got all this love. You can't just go home and throw it on, I mean, another baby.
Yeah.
And she and Luke, you know, the four of us all were like, we have to make something out of this. This can't be for nothing. And so when we had dinner, it was maybe 2 months after she passed that we had dinner with Brett and Kelly, that we were like, how do we help you? And I asked Dr. Mettler, what did you need to save Brett's life? And he said, well, she needed a valve replacement, but they don't make them small enough for her. And I was like, why? Because my non-medical brain is like, if you make them this size, just make them smaller.
Yeah.
He was like, well, to be brutally honest, there's no return on investment for device companies. The risk is too financially great with no financial rewards.
Which
so they
the
don't
most
invest.
Insulting
in
thing that you can hear as a parent.
You know,
I mean, it's just.
But also, the options at this time were like, even if they had had an option small enough for babies, the beautiful thing about them is that they grow. And so those fixed options don't grow with them. So one of the big issues with a lot of kids with CHD have valve disease. And so when you replace their valve, they grow and it has to be replaced again, which is another open heart surgery, which, like I said, Brett's second open heart surgery was a success, but it's the invasiveness of all of it exposes them to so much. And when he said that to us, the four of us were just set on fire of like, we are not in it for financial gain. We have got to figure out how to fund this research and let people know that there's a massive, I mean, there's over 2.5 million adults living with CHD that deserve more options. And the more that we can use, I mean, Caroline and Luke have been so generous with their celebrity, and y'all have been so generous with your huge platform of the more people talk about this, the more everybody cares.
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, 1 in 100, it's going to affect you somehow.
Yeah.
Whether it's your immediate family or a dear college friend or, you know, and so we just decided to see what we could do. And our really initially we decided to start at Vanderbilt because that's where Brett was treated. So we were funding things there. And then we formed a medical advisory board. And now it's We have a presence at 8 hospitals around the country. Wow. And are receiving grants right now from all over the world. So wow.
That's really something. That's also like hearing that there was something that she could have had.
Yeah.
And that could have saved her, it was a money thing. Like that's what I can't imagine hearing that as a parent, but how amazing though, that's what, you know, the Brett Boyer Foundation was born of, because look at how many things are going to happen from this and how many lives will be saved from the research. What are some of the things, the other things like research wise or things that have been completed? Is there anything like that the Brett Boyer Foundation has been tied to that you feel like your funding has gone directly to? Because I feel like sometimes we donate to so many charities. I feel like anybody listening to this podcast, it's like, you know, somebody does a GoFundMe or like somebody's donating to breast cancer research or whatever. And I'm always like, I wonder what the research is. You know, it's amazing to hear specifics about that type of stuff.
So the criteria that we tried to set for when all of the researchers apply is that we want to see, is there a possibility for this to be to the bedside in 5 years? Those are our goals. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of set that for when they submit. Tell us how you can get to this endpoint, how quickly. And the other thing is like for all of these researchers to get the project to get NIH funding, they've got to get some proof behind them, but that takes money. And so that's how our goal is, like, how do we get you to that point where we really can turn this thing around? So obviously studies that are important to me, ECMO studies, we've funded several of those. Infectious disease control. So there's been several studies about studying the microbiome and how you can help figure out which antibiotic is the correct one, because that was something we faced too. We try 3 different ones that were all the wrong ones. The major breakthrough that we've been so encouraged by, and it's just, I mean, is the partial heart transplant. So with a traditional organ transplant, there are anti-rejection meds that are really hard on a body. They suppress the person's immune system because they have to do that so that they don't fight off that organ as a foreign, you know, body. But those things suppress so much that they can make that person susceptible to a lot of different cancers. I mean, it's a real big risk. They can go into rejection. There's all kinds of things that those anti-rejection meds are life-altering. And with the partial heart transplant, they're not transplanting the entire heart. It's just the valves or just the root. It's mainly for kids that need a pulmonary valve replacement. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of the kids that have received it have truncus arteriosus, so they're getting an aortic valve and pulmonary valve. But they're on a non-life-altering dose of Tacro. Some kids aren't even on Tacro, so their risks are not there, and the valves are growing with them.
Wow.
But whereas they would need potentially 4 or 5 open heart surgeries for those different diagnoses, they're only needing one.
Wow.
So that's been a major breakthrough. We funded that in 2021 at MUSC in Charleston. They partnered with Duke. And, I mean, this was such a God thing in a circle, because the surgeon, one of the surgeons, Dr. Joe Turek at Duke, was on our board. So he heard about the research from serving on our board, partners with MUSC in Charleston. Then Owen Monroe is born and has no other option. And Joe's like, I know about this. If he has no option, let's give it a go. And he's 2. And running around,
thriving.
And will be in town tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And every time I see that kid,
oh my gosh.
And now there have been 24 kids since 2022 that have received the partial heart transplant.
Wow. From living proof of living something that directly came from her life.
Yeah, and that's that was within a year of us funding that initial, initial research. And so, I mean, that just goes to show that if you have somebody to like say to these researchers, we care about what you're doing, we want to help you do it. I mean, they are so motivated and ready to change the world. And so we just are thankful to be a part of it.
Because of Brett. Yeah. Wow. And, you know, Brett being born into this specific family of, I love your family, because your family seems like our family. You're just one big old country crew.
That's the best way to put it.
Yes. But these families that really bind together and like they can really do some amazing things. Like you can make it through the thing and hope to support your family member. But you said 24?
24.
That is so amazing that her life and everything combined, you know, you and Luke getting involved and like you and I mean, everything was just this perfect, wonderful storm that is literally saving lives. And that's just so amazing. And so, you know, what a gift, not only to like our family in the ways that it has been since Blaze has passed away, but like, wow, I want to see that kid. How amazing to see.
Oh, yeah. He'll be here tomorrow and then wow. they'll be here through the weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Okay. So I think that this has been so amazing. You guys have shared the thing that families fear the most, losing a child, but also this beautiful thing that's been born of that. And also this story of hope and of resilience and joy on the other side. And, you know, I love not the ending of your story, but now that, you know, Wells and Lottie are here and you were just talking about what a little princess she is. I got a sassy princess too. Mm-hmm. You know, Jade, I know that you are still in the middle of your journey. And it's crazy how you and Ellen's lives have crossed in these paths and stuff, but that also that this infertility after has been a part of your story kind of together.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kind of in the middle of that journey. You always say to me, you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it because I feel like my journey's not done yet. And I'm just like, what a beautiful thing to talk about it in the middle, you know, of your journey. And I know that you don't know exactly how your story's going to end, but I know it's going to be a happy ending.
I sure hope so.
It is.
Yeah, I think we'll be sent another baby at some point. But
you will.
Yeah, he's 100%. Really making me wait for it.
It's long for a time. Reason. Why is he putting y'all through these things? Well, what do you want Blaze's legacy to be?
Well, I think his legacy really is just living through me and just my outlook on life and Geoff's outlook. I mean, it's just completely changed the way that we see the world and, you know, never taken a day that we're given for granted. It sounds cliche, but
no, I think it's awesome.
You know, just your health and having healthy organs and gosh, having a healthy baby is such a miracle. Yeah, I remember when we had George, poor thing, just got like smothered with love because he just felt like such a miracle. So I think, his legacy is just, you know, appreciating the life that we're given. Yeah, and
that's awesome.
Giving back also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Service.
And what about Brett's legacy? Besides the Brett Boyer Foundation, what do you feel her legacy is or that you want her legacy to be?
I've always said I pray. Of course, I'm thankful that when people hear her name or like hear us talk about her to think about the great things that hopefully are, you know, being done in the hospital. But I hope that anytime anybody hears her name, they see how proud we are of her Down syndrome diagnosis and how much joy being a part of that community brought to my life and continues to. She was so unique and perfectly made that I pray that everybody knows I would never have changed a hair on her head. I wish she didn't have CHD, but I would not have changed her Down syndrome diagnosis for the world. And how chosen I felt to have her.
Wow, that's amazing and very inspiring. And I think that this podcast will inspire a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I want to be sure to link the Brett Boyer Foundation in the description of this video so that people can check you guys out and some of the things that you're doing, because throughout the year, and we've been part of like things that you guys have done, and besides the Redbird Games, there are so many amazing events and like fundraisers and different things. So can you tell us like where you can find, you know, if somebody's listening to this podcast and wants to donate or wants to be a part of or wants to see, you know, something that's coming up, where we can find the Brett Boyer Foundation?
TheBrettBoyerFoundation.org. On Instagram, we're at Bright for Brett. And the Brett Boyer Foundation on Facebook. But we share when we have events and pop-up shopping stuff and all different bike events and fun things like that. Mm-hmm. But, That's awesome. We're just even just sharing and spreading that awareness is so huge.
Yes. So. Agreed. Okay, tell us about the necklace. Everybody's gonna be like, where'd you get your necklace? Oh, well, sorry, yeah. You've gotta earn these. Can't link
these. These are really hard earned.
It's a necklace I don't think anybody ever wants.
So Beads of Courage, right?
These are the Beads of Courage. They are available at most children's hospitals, and they are locally funded, I think, by different groups. The Nashville Predators fund all of these at Vanderbilt, so cool that that's something that they pay for. But Beads of Courage is a nonprofit that, for children experiencing hospital stays, they get beads for each blood draw, admission, x-ray, surgery, I don't know if you...
Needle pokes.
Yeah,
for me. Also, like, anytime I was able to, like, give him a bath, like a sponge bath, like, they wrote that down. Sacraments. Really cool. He got baptized in the hospital. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. There's such a beautiful visual of just what, a badge of honor
what,
and, of
what,
and
be, like what they've gone of, through.
Right.
And so, I mean, obviously, I mean, I didn't mean it's, like, not something... I mean, nobody wants to wear these. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Yeah. You know, it's something that I would not wish on any parent or anybody, because just to see what, you know, everything Brett went through. Yeah. And so it's just, and it's, I mean, and people don't know, and they see it, they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy moly, it's
a visual representation. Are those both, these are both Brett's? Hers,
and then my best friend Keller has a couple of strands. Luke's got a couple of strands, and Bo's got some.
How many strands does she have total?
Oh, gosh. I still have some, seven. To be honest. Okay. These are the – there's a lot of parts of it that I'm able to tuck in my emotion. But, like, when I was reading through this, I had to stop everything that she endured. But there's still – I still have a whole bag of beads.
That
we haven't strung together. I just can't get it together to do.
Well, I didn't even know about these. Like, so I didn't know this was happening, and then they just showed up in the mail, and that was an emotional day.
Well,
I opened it up, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Erin called me because she called me and was like, how did we get Blaze's Beads of Courage? I was like, I'm calling right now. So I called and was like, I know this might, it's not a HIPAA violation. I'm just telling you the mom's name. But if you could get those for her, that would be great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Social work team at Vandy, which are just so great. Mm-hmm. They put it all together and dig through their chart and find all that they've gone through, and they earn the bead for all of those things. And I mean, we've, like, Nadia Suha's daughter, I mean, she could have a Christmas tree garland.
Oh, wow. I bet. Yeah.
She's 13, but after her, it's remarkable. But when you're at, you know, CHD is not a visible disease, and that's why we think the awareness is not there. If their shirt is on, you don't see that they've got a scar on their chest.
Yeah, good point.
And so these are something, I think it's always so powerful for dad to wear these, because they're not, you know, I kind of will show up with some flair on. So it's not that weird for me to have all the color. Yeah. But when you see us all wearing these and explain, like, look, this is part of what Blaze went through, and you're wearing it around you, as we're carrying this with him. This is part of his life that we, you know, and
it's not even everything.
Yeah. It's not even everything.
It's not even everything.
I still got more.
It's not even everything.
It's just this little taste, like I said, that makes it digestible of, like, this is the world that we're fighting for. This is trying to make it visible to everybody.
And for me, it helped me to, like, relive those little moments, because I didn't even know they were keeping track of all that.
Yeah,
like the day that we had him baptized and all the little things that, like, we would do in the hospital, I wouldn't have remembered. I mean, obviously I remembered his baptism,
but it's all a blur.
Just little things like that. So I love looking back at that. I still have it.
Well, this has been such an amazing conversation, and thank you guys for taking 1 hour and 8 minutes out of your very busy day. And I know we got to get across the street to the farm, because you guys got a lot of things to do, but thank you for coming on and shining a light on just one of the most amazing organizations and two really amazing moms and two really amazing babies that I know. And I'm sure Caroline feels the same as me. I feel very lucky to be a part of this thing indirectly.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
We will link everything the Brett Boyer Foundation in the show notes of this show. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Living Fully Podcast. Thank you so much, Ellen and Caroline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jade.
Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Tune in 2 weeks for more.
Hey, friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.